Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. Back now to the top story of the morning, the federal terrorism trial of alleged Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev, which gets underway at federal court in Boston this morning with jury selection. The start follows federal appeals court denial over the weekend of a defense request to delay the trial and move it out of Boston. WBUR's David Boeri, who will be covering the trial in the months ahead, joined me in the studio to talk about how it'll be a long and complicated proceeding.
The government says this could take over 5 months, and its witness list includes 590 law enforcement personnel and other 142 civilian witnesses. The government's turned over thousands of exhibits and tens of thousands of files to the defense in the last few weeks. That gives you a glimpse into what we're looking at.
David, because the government's seeking the death penalty in this trial, potentially there are two phases.
That's right. The first phase of this terror trial is the trial itself, in which Tsarnaev faces 30 charges in connection to both the Marathon Day bombings, in which three died and 260 at least were injured, and the later shooting death of the MIT police officer. Of those charges, prosecutors say they'll justify the death sentence for 17 of them. And his conviction on any of those charges will then trigger the second phase. And the same jurors will decide whether or not Tsarnaev should be sentenced to death.
David, there's a statistical analysis that says in nearly half the cases in which federal prosecutors were authorized to seek the death penalty, they didn't do so generally because the defendant pleaded guilty before the trial. Why didn't that happen in this case?
All the circumstantial evidence indicates that the defense did seek a plea deal. The lead defense attorney, the person that was brought in, Judy Clark, has consistently worked out these plea deals with the government for high-profile defendants. Like, there's the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, then the Olympic Park bomber, Eric Robert Rudolph, and that Arizona man, Jared Lee Loeffner, who shot Congressman Gabby Giffords and murdered six others. If the death penalty wasn't invoked in this case, suggested one defense attorney, it's hard to imagine when the government would ever invoke it.
All right, so look ahead. What do you think we can expect from the prosecution and the defense?
Let's look at the prosecution's case, and it's simple. They have surveillance photos and videotape. They have statements, including Tsarnaev's writing on the inside of that boat in which he was caught hiding out in Watertown, and his own attempt at flight. So the real battle, most observers would agree, is going to come in the second phase of the trial. And that's where the defense is going to present mitigating factors to persuade jurors not to impose the death penalty. And this is what Judy Clark, the defense attorney, is known for, trying to create sympathy amongst the jurors and being fairly successful in the past.
At the last minute, the defense renewed its motions for a change of venue to try and move the trial out of Boston and to delay the start of the trial, and even petitioned the federal appeals court to stop jury selection set to begin today.
The question and the challenge in this case is whether or not Tsarnaev can get a fair trial. The defense claims its defendant cannot get a fair trial at Eastern Massachusetts. That essentially, and they say that every potential juror that goes in there is a victim of the Marathon Day bombings. It's worth pointing out, by the way, that this is going to be the biggest federal capital murder case since Timothy McVeigh was tried for the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. And the defense cites that case because of a decision made by the federal judge who ruled that the defendants had been demonized in pretrial publicity. The judge ruled that publicity created so great a prejudice that these two defendants cannot obtain a fair and impartial trial anywhere in the state.
So if you're the judge in this case, if you're Judge George O'Toole, how do you deal with possible prejudice among the jurors?
This is where O'Toole has expressed his belief that all you need to do to eliminate possible prejudice is to question potential jurors, the process called voir dire, and it involves individual questioning of potential jurors. He said, and I'm quoting him here, "It stretches the imagination to suggest that an impartial jury cannot be successfully selected from Eastern Massachusetts." So his plan is to summon about 1,200 people to fill out questionnaires, cut the pool of potential jurors down to about 100, and then through voir dire, come up with 12 jurors and 6 alternates. O'Toole referred to McVeigh and the decision of that judge merely in a footnote in his decision, and he dismissed it as not pertinent here.
And again, as you said at the top, the trial's expected to take 5 months.
5 months.
And you'll be on it that whole time. And WBUR's David Borrey, thanks a lot for coming in.
You're welcome, Bob.